cliffcentral.com.
If you're unhappy with the way that you live your life this morning, this Monday morning in October, people will tell you that it's your responsibility to change it. Nobody wants to hear that, right? You want to be able to blame someone else.
It's so hard.
Oh, but it's the government, or but it's my parents, or but it's this, or but it's that. But it is your responsibility, and it's going to be your problem unless you sort it out. So we're terrified of the idea of moving on because we feel like we just can't move on and leave things behind. We sacrifice our own being, our own happiness. We choose to compromise all of these things because we choose to stay exactly where we are when we should be moving on and moving forward. Does that make sense?
It does. You do sometimes feel it's difficult to just start, to take those first steps.
You know what the basic rule is here, and really for a lot of people this is a difficult one to come to grips with because we like things to stay as they are because that's what we're used to. But if you're unhappy, move. If you're meant to stay in one place, you'd have roots instead of feet.
Ooh! I'm about to catch the spirit.
Makes sense, right?
You are preaching.
So I know this is a tough thing to think about first, you know, as you wake up on a Monday morning. But if you don't like your job, quit. If you feel like you're no longer growing, no longer learning, no longer productive, if you're just going through the motions, move. If you're constantly stressing over the fact that it drains you mentally, physically, and emotionally, move. If you're thinking of just sticking out that job that never fails to suck, then get out. I know that this is really tough and you don't know whether you're going to find something else. But if it's not doing anything for you, no one is too old to try. No one. Mm. There are people in their 60s and 70s who change jobs and start again. And it might just be the best decision you've ever made. So don't go make an irrational, crazy decision, but think about it and start putting plans into place if you're really unhappy with your job. If you're unhappy with the people you surround yourself with, leave.
Divorce.
Yeah, if you feel that those people don't influence you positively, by leaving, it doesn't mean that you're cutting them off or cutting them out of your life or that you're forgetting them forever. It just means that you're finally moving forward. The time that you had with them was great. There were learnings and encouragements, right? But they're no longer a vessel of those things. And they're now going to drag you into mediocrity. And maybe it's time for you to say your thank you and see you again and move on, maybe without them.
Yeah.
I mean, think about those people who you were best friends with, either at high school or varsity or even in your first job. You're like, I can never live without these people. How many of them are still around?
I love you forever.
Some of them are dead.
Some of them are dead. But some of them are not part of your life anymore, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that make sense?
Absolutely.
Right. So don't be hanging on to stuff that you don't need to be hanging on to anymore. If you're unhappy with your love life, end it. They aren't the last people on earth.
Yeah.
Romantic relationships are more than forehead kisses, dinner dates, tight hugs, and sweet letters. Romantic relationships are supposed to let you flourish and develop in every aspect of who you are. So they're supposed to be the top people who will propel you to be your best. Remember, who knows? Maybe in the near future, you'll meet someone who'll contribute to your soul even more.
Yep.
So don't be fixated on what you've got. If you're unhappy with the city you live in, move. Don't get stranded with comfort zones and safety nets. I often am jealous of people who can just drop everything for a new job or a new opportunity or something adventurous. Because I'm not that kind of person either. But if you don't like where you live and it makes you unhappy, move. Bitch, get out the way.
Yes.
Go on an adventure somewhere. Start anew. Search for a place you might like to visit, a place you'd like to stay. Now is the time. Home is where your happiness is, not where it's guarded. Right? I mean, all of this is pretty revolutionary, but it's stuff that you probably need to hear. If you're unhappy with your life path, take any turn possible, whether it's your college course, your career path, your business direction, whatever it is that you're taking now, if it reeks of strong discontentment, then it's the perfect time to pause and redirect. At the end of the day, it doesn't embolden you. You'll still feel devoid and exhausted. So it doesn't really matter if you're graduating next year. You better decide whether you find yourself trapped in an office chair with lots of horrible work that you don't even understand. If you're investing years of your precious time and expertise in a career path that you're not even pleased with, just shift. Now, this is all hectic.
Yeah, and obviously there are implications to all of it.
Of course. Some of it,
family expectations.
Right. Yes, I know.
Peer pressure. Money.
But this is what you've got to do. If you really want to change your life, you've got to do this stuff. If you're unhappy with how you see life, move your sight. See life from a different point of view, a different perspective. Reacquaint yourself with things. Worrying or overthinking things don't change how you live. Like they say, you don't stress over the things you can't change. The only thing you can do is fix your eyes on a different light. See life in all its splendor. Stop viewing it for all the trouble. Life is beautiful. If you're unhappy with where you are right now, move.
Yeah, bro.
So instead of dreading and over-examining every decision that you need to make, trust your gut. Sometimes taking risks and clinging to perplexity is a good thing. You don't always have to weigh the pros and cons. Sometimes there's only one thing that truly matters, and that is your happiness, your passion for life, your hunger for a contented heart. You don't have to be sure of where you're going or what the next step is. Sometimes all you have to do is take the first step, and that is to move. So there are some Maya Angelou and Jan Levanson reasons to start your week properly. I mean, it is something to think about. You might not want to make the dramatic changes straight away because, you know, you may have real-world responsibilities. But these are things to think about. And it's a new year in, what, 2.5 months? So start thinking. 2020, brand new decade, actually. Not just a new year.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Brand new
2020 vision.
It's a big deal. Yeah, have a 2020 vision. Start putting that into play. You've got a couple of months to sort it out.
Look, you are right. It's not revolutionary of any kind. I'm no oracle of any kind either. But life is the life rules are simple, but making them is not easy.
Oh, da 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 da.
Thank you.
All right, there's something heavy to start your day with, but also something quite inspirational. Yep. What have you got for us, Leanne?
Ooh, after all of that.
Are you just going to take us down after all of that?
No, it wasn't a yawn. It was a healthy, almost an really.
An okay, all right.
Well, China has grown and succeeded to grow a cotton plant on the far side of the moon.
No.
In a biological first.
No.
There's actually...
How do we know we can't see this far side?
Oh, this is a 3D... reconstruction.
Okay.
So it's still not a photograph.
We know the Chinese lie about this stuff. They lie about their economy. So how do we know for sure?
It's apparently growing within range of China's change. Oh, I hate the way they spelled this. It's change, but an apostrophe before the E.
Oh.
Isn't it a play on...
Chang'e.
Chang'e?
Maybe. Who knows?
We'll but ask tomorrow on how's the China.
There we go.
They took with them, they selected 5 species of biological organisms to send to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Cotton seeds, potato seeds, Arabidopsis seeds.
What?
Who?
It took a while on that one.
You just thought you were going to slip that one in. What?
I have no idea what they are.
Just try it one more time.
Arabidopsis seeds.
Yeast. And right. Fruit fly eggs.
Arabidopsis.
So most of these died quickly. The cotton seeds sprouted and not one but 2 leaves.
Okay. Well, you know what? If this is happening, and I have no reason to believe it isn't, despite my misgivings in the beginning here, I think this is terrific. If we can grow stuff on the moon, it's just a bit of an expensive business bringing it back.
Yeah, it is. But also there's a lot of work to be done. For instance, despite the hardy cotton's best efforts, the leaves died within 1 lunar day.
Oh, no.
But that's equivalent to 2 weeks here on Earth.
Well.
And that's because at nighttime, the lunar night, the temperatures on the moon dropped dramatically. And so the organisms were doomed by the cold. But you mean you could build something on there, right?
Okay, randomly, Arabidopsis.
Yeah, what is yes. that? What do you use that for?
They are in the small flowering plant family related to cabbage and mustard.
Okay.
So that's what they were trying to grow.
Okay. The Chinese use a lot of that in their cuisine. They also wanted to send small animals as part of the experiment. They wanted to send a small tortoise.
Oh.
However, this idea had to be scrapped due to the limited availability of oxygen.
Yeah, it's not great for tortoises on the moon.
No, they can only last for about 20 days there.
Not good.
No. So rather leave that alone.
Mind you, that's longer than they'd last on some in some parts of South Africa. So
this is true.
Truly. So, okay. Well, then listen, we've got to develop these things. We've got to figure it out. There's going to be some mistakes along the way. We've got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. Good for the Chinese. They're leading the way here.
Trying to figure out Arabidopsis.
Yes.
Plant Arabidopsis plants on the moon. I'm all for it. Good for them. All right.
Then you didn't actually ask me what I did this weekend.
I didn't. So what did you do?
I've been waiting for this documentary to hit YouTube.
What is it?
It's The Beautiful World of Jeffree Star.
Who's that?
Jeffree Star is the makeup artist who looks damn scary.
Who's that?
He's the blonde trans-dressing makeup artist.
Never seen him.
It's
not really in
and
my
Shane
orbit.
Dawson is doing this with him.
Who?
They're all from Shane Dawson. They're all from the beauty world.
Who is it?
So
who?
Let's just say,
Gareth, are you
you would probably
here?
You'd probably want to know who they are when you realize that
You told me about those other two who had the big
and they're
fight
included in this.
Oh, okay.
This is a proper Tati Westbrook.
Tati Westbrook.
And James Charles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So these guys make their own... A big thing that they make is a beauty palette, right?
Okay.
Or an eyeshadow palette or a shadow palette. Jeffree Star has...
That's makeup, Karen.
...made about 4 or 5 of them. Do you know how much he earns off of one?
No.
$20 million.
No. That's incredible. That's really incredible.
He's like super wealthy. He flies all over on
and he looks like that.
Private planes.
Like, who would take makeup advice from someone who looks like that?
Oh no, he's actually quite beautiful.
Take your word for it.
What does Jeffrey identify as?
Well, he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the rest.
All right.
Mm.
He's got a lovely boyfriend.
Oh.
Who doesn't dress up like him at all.
All right.
Okay.
So this guy, he's making a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. He's huge. Okay. So for instance, now Shane Dawson is now going to make his own makeup palette. And this
is also another YouTuber.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's filming it along with Jeffree Star because he wants to make his palette through Jeffree Star's business.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the documentary you've been waiting for.
Yes. It exposes...
What are you going to see?
It exposes a whole lot of... underground stuff that happens in the beauty world.
Yes.
For instance, another YouTuber, Nikki Tutorials, she's from Holland. She did a deal with Too Faced, which is a beauty brand in America. And for her palette, they gave her a once-off fee of $50,000. The palette went on to sell $10,000 worth.
Oh.
All she got was $50,000.
Wait, it went on to sell $10,000.
Sorry, $10 million.
Yeah, I was about to say, what's going on there?
And she only
got
paid her $50,000after 9 months. So basically, this has been brought up in the documentary.
Sure.
And Too Faced's PR people must be running circles because if Jeffree Star slams your brand, that's it. You're done.
It makes a dent with their consumer base.
Hugely.
So who's buying? Who listens to these people? I mean, who are these?
Anyone aged between, I don't know, what's the legal age of doing all this sort of thing is supposed to be 13. And my age.
Do you listen to these people when they say, for example, oh, you should be doing this or you should be using this product? You take them seriously?
I would with Tati Westbrook and Nikki Tutorials. Tati Westbrook is more my age group, so her makeup is more age appropriate. But just to see these other stars and how big they are. When they go to a Morphe store in America, which is a makeup store.
I was going to say, Sephora, please, we don't like any slurs, if you don't mind.
I just got that.
Yeah, it's not funny.
When there's news of Jeffree Star and Shane Dawson going to do an appearance at a Morphe store,
yes,
there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who pitch up
and
stand on top of buildings from far away.
And they buy things?
Just to see him. Jeffree Star's makeup brushes sold out within an hour.
Like it or not, YouTube stars are becoming the new rock stars.
Are you telling me that men are better at selling makeup products than women?
No, because Nikki Tutorials is doing it and so is Tati Westbrook. Tati's got her...
But are those women or men?
Women.
Oh, okay. It's very hard to tell with these names whether you're dealing with men or women.
Yeah. Tati has also got her own range of skin and nail pills.
You know a lot about this stuff, huh?
Promise you want to get into it. It's absolutely fascinating.
Oh, all right. So there's a documentary that's going on now.
Yes.
And this is what you've
been... Two seasons. What are they? Series. And they're 9 in total.
Sure. Wow. Okay. Well, that's fantastic, Leanne. For you and for the makeup world, the universe of makeup, which is clearly a multi-billion-dollar industry. And these freak shows who are the most influential people in it are now part of my universe too, thanks to you, Leanne.
You learn something new every day.
Terrific. I've got to get me some Tutty Titty Brook makeup brushes. That's what I've got
to
do.
So to give you an idea, Jeffree Star has on YouTube 14 million followers.
Sure. That's wonderful. Shane Dawson is also the turd that made the Flat Earth documentary. You played the audio clip from that Stranger Thing Girls.
Oh, Bobby.
He's a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, well, here's some useful info. So thank you, Jay, for that. So he's the guy who's talking about like Flat Earthism. Oh, well, he'll lose all his money soon. Okay. Are they sending Skolopat to the moon?
Oh, shame.
Shame. No, don't panic. Someone's just... Sorry, a lot of panic going on here. Let's just set that right. We didn't want to make you worry about this. You don't have to be concerned. Skolopat is not going to the moon.
I am concerned, though. She's changed her number.
Oh, she's not contactable anymore?
She had, like, leg surgery.
Oh, sure. That's terrible.
You know, her...
That's terrible.
Her Instagram is still a site for sore eyes if you're into...
Sure.
I don't know...
Why not?
...how you'd categorize...
Why not? All right.
If you're into Skolopatness, that's all.
Well, while we're talking about Skolopat, let's talk about some of the dumbest social media posts of the year. And we aren't even at the end of the year, but we've got a massive list of contenders here.
What a segue.
Some of the dumbest social media posts of the year. Let's go, Leanne. Over to you.
What's the criteria for dumbest?
I call them that.
Okay. This is the Leanne Moll official dumbest social media posts.
They were called social media posts that'll make you slap your head, your forehead.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think...
Save timing.
This exposes how dumb some people are.
Go straight to the point. They're dumb.
All right. I don't know if we need the horn so much anymore. Oh, there we go.
Sorry. Okay. I thought you'd appreciate that.
An anti-vaxxer, right?
Yes.
Who forgot one important detail about the Black Plague. They tweeted, "The Black Plague disappeared without a vaccine. Just saying. # anti-vax."
Yeah.
And the response to that was, "It killed 1/3 of Europe."
Yeah.
Just didn't disappear without a trace.
Didn't just disappear without a trace. There was a lot of... By the way, anti-vaxxers and flat earthers, mm-hmm. I'd like you to please not listen to us anymore. It just drags down everybody's IQ, and we're all busy people. We don't have time to be held back by stupid people. So if you're an anti-vaxxer or a flat earther, we really cannot accommodate you anymore. I'm afraid you'll have to move on.
This young woman tweeted, "I look crazy, but I saved a baby shark," and she's holding a catfish. So someone replied, "You got catfished."
That's funny.
That's great. All right, what an idiot.
A tweet from a woman at the airport. She says, "I just heard an American woman angrily tell an airport employee, 'If you don't speak English, then why are you working here? Ma'am, you're in Shanghai, China.'"
That's also fantastic. You know, I love it.
Jet lag could be playing with her.
There's, all right, good.
There's this person who forgot that humans can speak.
Yes.
Wait, how is that possible?
She says, "Why don't humans have a specific noise that means there are bees here, let's leave immediately? Why are elephants more advanced than us?" Someone replied, "We do have a specific noise. It sounds like this. There are bees here, let's leave immediately." Oh, another person who just wants to know why others don't travel. I don't see how people can stay in one place for the rest of their life and not explore the world. The response? Poverty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very good.
Justified well there.
Someone tweeted a picture, a photograph of their parking ticket.
Yeah.
And they said, $160 parking ticket? Fuck you, Virginia Beach. Someone replied, nice, how fast? It was a parking ticket.
Sia doesn't know what why that's funny. You don't know why that's funny?
Is it more?
You're not going any
it's
speed.
It's a parking ticket, so it's not about ticket. How fast you were going. It's not a speeding ticket, it's a parking ticket. So the idiot you asked that is an idiot.
Oh!
It took him a while. No.
I feel stupid now because I didn't get that one.
Mm-hmm. Somebody who might need a dictionary. There's no I in happiness, but she spelt happy with a Y.
Yeah, and it is with an
Someone
I.
Someone said there is if you fucking spell it right.
They're clearly very compassionate. Jeez.
Has a friend who really needs a long nap.
Yeah.
She SMSs. She goes, wait, shit, I think by accident I took your phone with me. This girl goes, lol, what? She said, I think I took it out of your hand. I think I still have it. I'm searching in my bag. Hold
but she's
on.
She's texting her.
This woman goes, Jen. She says, yes, I'm texting you. Wait, oh my God, I'm so dumb. I can't.
Haven't we all had similar moments, though? Jesus, have you ever left the house while you're on the phone?
And you think, oh no, and I left my phone.
Where is my phone? I've had that moment several times.
Yeah, when you're on the phone or when you have your glasses on, your sunglasses, and you're like, oh, where are my sunglasses?
Yeah.
That's stupid. Or you've just put the keys of the car on the roof of the car and
when I went to
dumb stuff. We all do that. Just you have these moments where you have a bit of a brain fart.
Yes, sure. I had to go to the US Embassy a few weeks ago and I had to lock up my phone. And when you're inside the building, was that weird thing. I was standing in line going, where's my phone? Yeah. And you have a panic attack as well.
Because
you think, of course, I can't just stand arbitrarily in the line. Like, I should be on my phone. I should be checking social media.
That's right.
So some of these things are excusable, at least.
Exactly. There was a girl who sent her mom pictures of her new room, like her dorm.
Yes.
Because her mom, she said, mom's been asking for pics of my new room. Finally sent one. I'm so stupid. It's a picture of her pretty bed, and she's forgotten that she's got a pair of handcuffs hooked to the headboard.
Ow.
Very exciting.
Oh, she's living her best life.
All right.
A sign saying the all-day breakfast is served until 11:30 a.m.
The all-day breakfast.
Wow. Wow.
All right.
Well, here's something else. If we're going to talk about dumb people, I think this is
Donald
actually...
Donald Trump didn't make the list of dumbest social media posts.
It's the inaugural Leanne Moll dumb social media. Yeah. How often will we have this list, Leanne?
Yeah, we'll start our own awards show.
Yeah, the Moll and Moll Association working on that.
There was one with a sign, which, you know, maybe Trump could have done this. America is the best country in the nation.
Yes, okay. Nope, I'm done. I have to say, this is rather smart on the other side of the scale. And once I admit this to you, your first thought will probably be, why haven't we had this sooner?
Okay.
Kudos to this Japanese airline. Thank goodness, Jesus, and the 12 disciples for this innovation.
What is it?
When you now go onto their website to book your flight ticket, the same way you have the options that tell you these are the available seats, these are the book seats, these are the seats next to the emergency exits, they now tell you these are the seats with infants.
Ah,
right.
Terrific.
It is amazing.
Because you want to sit as far away from the infants as possible.
You know what? Yeah. Those parents are probably... Those parents would be so relieved that no one sat next to them. Because they find it
it's
so embarrassing.
It's a win-win. It is so amazing.
Yeah, they get all the space.
Oh, so Japan Airlines has
What do you mean you don't like the sound of a baby screaming next to you?
So Japan Airlines has now revealed this new tool that will let you dodge infants when you book your seat. So passengers traveling with children between 8 days old and 2 years old who select their seats. Who select their seats on their websites will have a child icon displayed on their seats on the seat selection screen.
Put a little icon of Satan there instead.
Oh, that escalated quickly.
You get a very good idea of what's going on. No, Put them at the far end. Listen, if you have kids and you're traveling in economy, you should be right at the back. Because first of all, the bathrooms are right there. And that's necessary a lot of the time when you've got
kids. Close to the entrance / exit.
And anybody who has kids, they should all be together. So all the kids can make a noise together at the back of the plane. Uh-huh. And there should be a soundproof wall. Let's say the last 10 rows are available for people with children. And there should be some soundproof wall there. And they can have the bathroom at the back all to themselves.
You mean like in the cargo carrier?
No. We don't want to put them in the car. Please, this is humane.
We're being civil.
I'm just saying.
That's where they put my animals, and I could hear them before we took off.
You could hear them barking and what?
Yeah, I could hear my dog barking, and someone said, "Oh, shame, someone's dog's down there." And I said, "I know, it's mine."
No, I don't want kids to be mistreated. I don't want them to have a horrible time. The parents have to travel with kids. I get that.
Yeah, it's a really tough shape.
But I think for the parents' sake, it would put them at ease. Yeah. Do you know how stressed? I've seen a mom who was, she was so stressed because her kid would just not stop crying.
Mm.
And you know, their ears pop and they have a tough time. The little kids don't know how to articulate the problem. The mom was getting so stressed, and obviously then the kid picks up that the mom is stressed, so it cries even more, and it's just a horrible cycle. So give them a soundproofed area at the back of the plane. I mean, we'll lose one row, but I'm sure the airlines can charge more to people who are traveling with an infant. Let's say it's an extra, I don't know, $400 or whatever. That would maybe cover the cost over like 10 people with kids of one row of seats. And then you can put a little wall in there and, you know, it's just, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Can we then perhaps, if it's a long flight, can we collectively as the people on board take a vote as well based on other people's behavior as to whom we can also put in that room? If you start to snore, I'd love for you to go into that soundproof room.
Right.
If you're one of those people who are loud on the phone while we're just about to take off, we can tell that you're a chatter, so go into the soundproof room. You know?
Yeah.
Might as well maximize
things. It's getting complicated now, because eventually it's going to be all the people you don't like, Sia, and then there's going to be just you left in the front of the plane.
Let it be like Survivor. We'll all cast a vote, and then, well, the tribe has spoken.
You're being inappropriate.
The cabin crew has spoken.
No, you need to go. Eventually, you just get to the point where, like, you... If you don't like the rest of humanity as much as you don't, Sia, you need to have enough money to get a private plane or to fly first class.
I need to be friends with Jeffree Star.
Yeah,
but I swear, kudos to this airline. It is. It seems so simple right now, and I think this is an easy first step.
Good way to go.
Well, that's a first step. Do you also want to know which airlines not to travel because they're the most dangerous in the world?
Absolutely, we do.
How were they rated?
Well, how many crashes would be a good place to start?
Factors such as fatalities over the last decade.
Yeah.
Country blacklists also applied.
Mm-hmm.
And International Air Transport Association Operation Safety Audit Certificates.
That's quite
that
a couple.
Rolled off your tongue.
That was complex, but okay. Let's
so
go.
Thank goodness there aren't any here that I really recognize.
So none that you've flown.
No, I'll give you some examples and tell me if you've heard of them. Tara Air. In South Africa, or if you live in Joburg, it's not a very good title to give an airline.
All right, so what is Tara Air? Where are they from?
So they get a number of stars, okay? It's a rating system of 7 stars.
Yep.
None of these airlines attained any more than 2 out of 7 stars.
Ooh.
So Tara Air had 1 out of 7 stars.
Tara Air, by the way, are in Kathmandu in Nepal.
Yes, that's right.
So they are a subsidiary of Yeti Airlines, and they use aircraft there. They obviously fly people to and from the high peaks of the Himalayas.
That's right.
To other lower
areas. It's got a lot to do with the dangerous mountainous approaches.
Sure.
They had multiple fatal accidents in 2010 and 11.
Hmm.
And they operate a fleet of 8 aircraft in and out of this dangerous airline.
Okay. They only have 8 aircraft, but they have a very high rate of fatalities and disasters.
Not surprising then that the next on the list is Nepal Airlines.
Sure. They've a great place to fly.
Yeah. They've had 9 fatal accidents over the last 8 years.
Hmm.
And statistically showing that flying in the mountainous kingdom is relatively dangerous.
Sure. Well, of course it is. The air is thin up there and you have sometimes very poor visibility. You have high mountains that you could fly into. There are air currents up there that are crazy. So yes, I understand. It's probably a lot more dangerous. So those two make perfect sense. Are they the worst?
They scored 1 star out of the 7.
Okay.
All of these are either 1 or 2 stars.
All right.
So there's not necessarily a worst.
Who else should we avoid?
Well, this one I would have avoided by name anyway. Ariana Afghan Airlines.
Yeah? Do they have chickens on the roof?
They're actually Afghanistan's national carrier.
Yeah, sure.
They have just 5 aircraft in their current fleet.
Yeah.
And a disproportionately staggering record of 19 aircraft being written off during its history, including 7 fatal incidents.
Sure. That is a tough place to... Afghanistan, you'd
have to... Take a camel.
Well, if I'm stuck in Afghanistan, I'll take whatever plane I can get to get out of Afghanistan. It's not the kind of place you want to be stuck in. But their planes might be more dangerous than being on the ground. Who knows?
Yeah, for sure.
They play this on the plane, by the way. It plays the whole way that you're flying with it. And that's the sound of the engines that you can hear in the background. And they do have chickens on the roof, I've just checked. And it stinks inside. A lot of people travel with their manure.
Yeah, they aren't glues. You need to use the bag.
Imagine the guy who's flying the plane in Ariana Afghan Airlines.
There's an alternative in Afghanistan.
They don't do security checks there, by the way. Your bums are welcome on board.
If you don't have... No, shame. But
what? You don't have bum? You're not welcome here. Get out.
You can also take CAM Air, K-A-M-A, in Afghanistan.
No,
however, they
so.
Are at the bottom of the safety list.
Oh, shit. They're worse than the last ones?
Yeah, they are.
Really?
They're banned from U.S. airspace. That's their safety feature video.
What are they doing in this video?
They're demonstrating how if you make farts under your arms, it can create bubbles which will keep you afloat in sinking sand for longer.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, here's some messages that are coming in about these airlines. So in Africa, they've been voted number 1. I've flown with Ethiopian Airlines, and I must say I'm very impressed. Mm-hmm. Their coffee and airlines are the best. That's from Eddie. So he's a big fan of Ethiopian. Talking about airlines, I was blown away that in Aeroflot, Aeroflot's the Russian airline, and this is from Robin. In Aeroflot, we were given metal cutlery. As my husband reckoned, ain't no one going to fuck with the Russians. That's from Dr. Robin. That's a good point.
Yeah, like you're going to cabin and stab the Russian pilot.
No, hell no. He's probably
drinking vodka.
He's probably got a machete. Or a machine gun. He'll just gun you to death.
Look, he's battled bears just to get into that plane. So you are nothing as a human being.
And then just one other, Scat Airlines.
Oh, Jesus, that sounds
which
bad.
Which is in Kazakhstan.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Although it hasn't seen a fatal accident since 2013, it doesn't operate with an internationally recognized safety audit certificate.
So they're
just
outside
flying.
The law.
They're just flying.
You hop on, you take your chances.
We're just going.
I wonder if that's Borat's favorite airline to fly. That's probably how he got to USA.
It is nice. That was his review of the airline.
What do you think? One star. It is nice.
What do you think? Yeah, their rating in the airport. They've got a big banner up. It says, it is nice. It's a one star. I'm going to ask. What do you think they serve as the onboard meal?
Oh, that's what Scat chicken airline. Feet.
Oh.
That's what I thought of. Crispy chicken feet. I don't know.
Head of a pig.
What a delicacy.
And a bag of sand so you can wash your hands. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh wait, do we can we just quickly insert this story because it fits right in.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to support NUMSA, the National Union for Metal Workers of South Africa,
sure.
They're heading to court today in a bid to prevent air chefs from interdicting their strike. And air chefs, of course, services a lot of local airlines and caters online, on flights. And so they say that if anyone wants to support them in their strike, bring a skaftin on board. Any of your flights.
So would you have to bring your own food? Because what, they're striking, so... Yes. We must bring our own food.
Boycott air chefs.
So if you booked a flight today, you may as well be on Kandahar Air because it appears that all our local airlines, NUMSA, are trying to make it very difficult for us to fly on them.
The strike will affect OR Tambo here in Johannesburg, Cape Town International, and King Shaka in Durban.
So I've got a couple of other airlines you can add to your list.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Just today, Leanne. You
know. Bring your tupperware, your skaftin.
I mean, can you imagine the horrible food that some people are going to bring? Imagine if you left
sardines, boiled eggs.
So in America, I took a flight from LA to New York once, and there was a woman sitting next to me. First of all, she was a hippopotamus. Second,
but that's not the point of the story.
She brought a Tupperware with stinky fish in it, and proceeded to smear this fish all over biscuits. Right next to me. The stink was unbearable. It was like sitting next door to a whaling station. And she thought this was absolutely great. She put the schmear on and she put some stuff on top of it. And she had a whole lunchbox figured out.
Oh, she was so happy.
I cannot believe that anyone thinks that it's acceptable in any way to do that on a flight. Even if... They do say to you, bring your own food. Because you know that a lot of those cheap airlines in America, they let you bring your own food. Fine. But you don't bring sardines.
Listen, I've been on flights from Durban, where these families obviously have come to do a big cook-up here in Joburg.
Oh, my God.
And they've brought sacks of potatoes and onions and carrots. No, everything's raw.
Why don't you just buy it here?
I don't know why. I feel like it would be being stuck in a company microwave in those massive, massive corporates. Just the smell of what it's like to be...
That's right. People bring their own food to work and then they warm it up in the microwave and the microwave has to hold on to the stink of all that different food. And oh, no. It's just... You see, this is why I live on my own. This is why... people are just disgusting. I have no idea how
I didn't say this last week because I'm a lady, but we went to a meeting, had a big corporate, you and I, last week.
Yeah.
And we had to walk through the kitchen. The stench of that kitchen. I swear I would not sign up with them based on that.
Well, there's one place you can go where you can get rid of all the frustrations and the anxiety that Sia's talking about. It's a place where you can relax. Mm-hmm. You can take time to heal body and mind. It is called Skin Sense Day Spa in Rivonia. It's one of the best places you can go. They host a comprehensive range of expert beauty treatments for women and for men. It is a space where every beauty need can be achieved, Leanne. All those things that you were talking about earlier?
Yes.
You can get all of that. A full body massage after a long, hard day. A beautiful set of nails for the special occasions.
Ooh-wee.
You walk through the doors and you will be shown the secrets of how to look and feel wonderful. And this month, 10% of the proceeds from all of their specials will be donated to Cancer. That's the Cancer Association of South Africa. You can check out what's on offer right now on cliffcentral.com or you can find out more at skinsense.co.za, where you can also book treatments and even shop online. So go along and check out skinsense.co.za. Make sure you tell them we sent you. Cliffcentral.com if you want more info as well. It's all there, very easy to find. And it's very easy to make your life a whole lot less stressful. I like all the stuff we've been talking about, airlines that crash and, you know, babies yeah. screaming and all kinds of things that you have to put up with every day. This is a place you can relax and you never have to worry. So, there is something to be said for young people who take fearless decisions in the effort to make our world a bit better or to make some money or to create an opportunity for other people. Our next guests have done exactly that. Jared and Edan are young South African entrepreneurs who are doing something interesting for other entrepreneurs, people who've started their own small businesses. It's very hard to get funding for your small business. And Funder, that's F-U-N-D with two R's, was started in November 2017. An idea that was born to form a fintech startup called Funder. Funder is an SME lending business that provides unsecured loans to small businesses in South Africa. Because it's really hard, right, guys, for small businesses to find money. Welcome, by the way. Nice to have you guys here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's tough to find money if you've got a small business because the banks don't like to risk giving you money. They have very strict procedures and rules and regulations around who they can lend to. And a lot of the small businesses, they just realize they're not allowed to lend to. So you're out of the picture there. And how do small businesses, if they need to, for example, you know, buy premises or machinery or they need to hire somebody, how do they even begin? They're stuck.
100%, exactly like you're saying. So there was a recent study done by a company called FinFund. They estimated the funding gap in South Africa currently for small businesses seeking finance is estimated to be at around 86 billion rand. That means that there's an 86 billion rand funding gap for small businesses that need financing to either grow the business, carry on operation, expand, like you're saying, buy machinery. The National Credit Act regulator stated that most businesses, small businesses, don't last more than 2 years just because of that inability to access finance. So unfortunately, the banks, we're great fans of the banks. We think they do an amazing job. But unfortunately, they just don't know how to assess credit when it comes to small businesses. They just don't. These businesses are not financially literate enough for the banks to look at them.
Well, how do you know what to look for? Jared, what do you look for when you see a small business, when they come to you and they go, I need funding, but you're not sure whether you should lend them money because they might also be just really badly run. It might not be such a great idea. And then you've gone and given them money and now you have to try and get that back somehow.
Sure.
How do you know?
So yeah, we've developed a proprietary funder score, we call it, whereby we look at over 100 different data points. Those points include alternative data, such as social media handles, the personal credit score, as well as many other points. And with that, we're able to make a decision. Whereas the banks will typically look at like assets, property, and they'll require to get a bond registered over those assets.
So, in other words, you've got like other mechanics that you bring in. It's not just the stuff that the banks would look at.
Exactly. Like Jared said, you have to look. Like I said earlier, these small businesses are not financially literate. When they go to the banks ask them for audited financials. They're asking for life policies, insurance policies. They want to tie up their bonds or refinance their bonds. And these small business owners, unfortunately, do not have the access into that financial literacy. So, I mean, how do you create, like Jared was saying, how do you plug in alternative data points to give you a holistic view of a small business?
How did you guys get into this?
We're obviously school friends. We met in like when we were 12 years old and we've been best friends ever since. After school, we went our separate ways. I became a chartered accountant and Dan went on to open up a few restaurants. And just over a dinner one night in New York City, over a taco, Dan actually told me what he was working on. And I was at the time looking to leave the corporate world. And so Funder was formed. We both quit our jobs and put everything into it. Never drew a salary for over a year.
Yeah, you know how that goes.
It's very tough.
Yeah, it is tough. So you probably had some idea of how it would feel for small business owners because you were doing the same thing yourself, right?
Exactly, 100%. So while I was essentially a small business owner myself, we had a good concept.
Running restaurants is hard, dude.
Super hard. Gee. It was super hard. So naturally, I went into restaurants because of my brother and brother-in-law in the industry. So naturally, you know, left varsity, didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. My brother was like, come here, come spend some time, you know.
Because they saw an opportunity for cheap labor.
Exactly.
Someone they could shout at easily, feel bad.
Because when it's family, you can shout at them. Yeah.
Exactly. So a little bit of time landed up being like 4 years. And then while I was essentially a small business owner myself, I saw we had a good concept, good social media reviews, queues for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But at the end of the month, we'd run into cash flow problems.
Mm-hmm.
Approached a bank. The bank didn't even want to look at us, looked at the other alternative financiers in the market.
And there's some dodgy money lenders out there, hey?
Mm. Yeah. So
like there are people who you can go to, but they charge you exorbitant interest rates.
That's it.
And they'll chop your kneecaps if you don't pay.
Yeah.
That's it. So I kind of just put a pen to paper, and then I approached Jared because he was telling me he wants to get out of the corporate world, and he's obviously a CA.
Yeah.
Very important.
So that's helpful.
Very important.
Yeah. You need someone who can manage the books.
100%. So, but I mean, what we had on paper to where we are today, it's like night and day, you know? So just carried on evolving. It was just an idea. And
so far, how's it going?
It's going good. You know, it's going good. Like Jared was saying, we poured all of our life savings into it at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Funny enough, we couldn't get access to finance. So
you had to fund it yourselves.
We had to fund it ourselves.
If only there was a funder around when you guys needed it.
Yeah,
if
only.
Yeah, funderer.
Funderer. That would be three R's. You know, your fund is two R's, but that would have been three in those days.
But yeah, it's good. So we poured all of our life savings into it. We're very fortunate enough to get some good mentors on our team, and we managed to raise some finance in May this year, so we're very fortunate for that. And with that money, we're starting to help businesses and lend it out.
So you say that one of the criteria that you look at is the business's social media. What exactly, you know, how do you value a business by its social media?
Yeah, how do you know what to look for?
Sure. Well, we like to look at, for example, Facebook, like the number of likes, the number of promotional campaigns that they're running. We find that there's a high correlation between like the effort in that they put out there on the social media platforms to how well they do in business. Like you get some restaurants that have, for example, 4.5 stars on Yelp versus a 1-star review.
Mm-hmm.
Like who would you rather lend the money to? So that's like the thinking, and obviously there's a few other like proprietary things that we do.
Because people are offering up all this information every day online, right? They're volunteering it. They're just like, here's all the info you need about me.
You know what? Like a small business in today's world, the first place that you'd start advertising is social media.
Yeah.
First of all, it's cheap, and you've got a target market that you can captivate on, right? So, I mean, the small businesses in South Africa, they don't have money to go buy billboards or ad pages in magazines, so they go on social media, and that shows us a lot about the character of the jockey operating the business. How active is he online? How often does he respond to his customers? How are customers commenting on his reviews? How often does he do promotional activities? Because promotional activity leads to turnover. So if he's running specials, if it's a clothing store and he's doing a Black Friday promotion, most chances are he'll get feet through the door. Most chances are he'll get revenue in. So we have a lot of metrics that we look at social media. We believe it has, like Jared was saying, like a complete positive correlation to turnover.
I mean, you talk about small versus big clients, but there are some big brands who are moving completely away from billboards and just going on to using social media. And it is cheap, but the one platform that isn't is LinkedIn. It's extremely expensive to advertise on there, but it's extremely effective.
Really? Yeah. We haven't actually explored it on our personal one.
Well, guys, good luck. I think this is really interesting stuff that you're doing, and I'm sure there are people who are listening to us now who have small businesses that sometimes need funding, and they can find out more about you by going to your website, I suppose.
Definitely.
What's the easiest way to get hold of you?
Our website's funder.co.za.
That's FUNDRR.
.co.za.
Right.
You can reach out to us there. There's an application form all online. It will take you less than 8 minutes to fill out, after which you'll have an answer within 24 hours.
Very good.
Alternatively, if you're not one for online application forms, you can give us a call or drop us a mail, and you'll find
all the info online. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good
Thanks
to see
for having
you
us.
Thank you, Adan. Thank you, Jared. Very nice. Okay. Coming up in a little while, we're going to speak to a Swedish entrepreneur about the idea of taking her message to rewiring one's mindset and inspiration around the world as a global public speaker. Her name is Linnea Kemper, and we'll talk to her in a short while. And Sia, are you ready for New York?
Start spreading the news.
No, I just asked if you're ready for New York. When do you leave for Washington and then you're going up to New York?
I leave straight after the show on Thursday.
Very exciting.
Please don't ask me about my packing situation.
First time you've ever been to America?
Yes.
Okay.
I sat down this weekend to try to start packing. Then it became just a 20-minute ordeal about thinking about what I have to leave behind. And then I just procrastinated. I closed the suitcase and I thought, okay, never mind.
See, it take less. Less is more. You're going to probably buy a couple of things while you're there, so you need some space in your suitcase.
Gareth? You've known me for 5+ years.
But I know you're going to have the
you
biggest suitcase in the world.
Less is more does not exist.
Just is a very bad. You don't need 10 pairs of shoes.
More is more. What if I meet Saint Andrew something who is part of
Spanish monarchy? No one's going
from
to see 50 your
years
shoes.
Ago. And then he wants to take me out for
no
dinner.
No one's going to look at your shoes.
This is how Saint Andrew will not marry me.
You're going to walk a lot. You need to wear comfortable shoes, take a pair of sneakers, and forget the rest. Jared, you've been to New York. Tell him. Need to stress.
You're going
to
do a lot of shopping there.
Jared, are you saying I need to leave all of my bedazzled outfits?
It's very hot this time of the year, so I would suggest
it's fall.
Gets cold in October, November.
It gets colder, but you're going to be warm during the day.
Guys, you know, like I need to attract these opportunities in my life as well. So I feel like I'm finding my husband on this trip. Excuse me.
The hope of the youth, honestly. It'll all go away one day.
I'm finding my husband
you'll
on this
packing
trip.
Packing rags in your suitcase, not giving a damn.
Yeah. It's not... Just give it time, Sia. All right, everybody. Thank you. That's all we got time for this morning. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9 o'clock. CliffCentral.com. It's 8 minutes to 8. CliffCentral.com.